My name is Brad, and I'm the lead pastor here at Hillside Church, and I want to thank you for listening to one of our messages from Hillside Church. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly all through the pages of Scripture is still speaking today. So if it's me speaking or if it's someone else, we pray that the message you are about to hear would allow you to know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power. Enjoy the message. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16, specifically verses 12 through 15, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to jump back into our series on the Holy Spirit, the sometimes forgotten, often misunderstood third person of the Trinity. Last week, we had our launch Sunday where we sort of kicked off officially life as Cornerstone Church. It's going to take a long time to work that out of the system. But we kicked off life as Hillside Church, and I'm so grateful for Pastor Barry and Audrey being with us and the wonderful words and for our charter and for the meaningful gift that they gave. You're watching online, I don't think you can see it, but we positioned it on the stage as a constant reminder that thus far the Lord has been a help to us. That as we look at this symbol, we can remember 28 years of faithfulness. And so in the midst of 28 years of faithfulness, let's trust Him for one more day. And one more day and one more day. But last week I shared the word that I think God has for us in 2021. Risk. That God is calling us to risk something for Him this year. To step out in risk and do something for Him that makes our knees knock a little. And trust that in our step of faith, God is going to catch us. And I gave some ideas of some things that maybe in your life, you need to step out in faith and risk. Whether it's our finances or our ego, our emotions, our identity. And maybe for some, God poked you last Sunday. Where when I said something, God said, you know, that's you. That's you that I'm talking to. You need to be there. The pastor is talking to you right now. But maybe God didn't do that for you as well. Maybe God never poked you. And you're thinking, I want to step out in faith and I want to step out in risk, but I don't know what. I don't know what I'm called to risk. I know that I'm called to something. And this week can almost serve as a helpful guide for last week. And really, hopefully for all of us in some way, whether God poked you last week or not, this message is a real helpful message for you in your life. Because the great question that we deal with in our lives, that you deal with and that I deal with, is how do we do it? How do we do this? How do we live? How do we go through life? How do we do all of the things in life knowing that God has a will and a plan and a purpose for my life, but it's not as spelled out as I'd like for it to be. It's not as simple as you know, we open the Bible to give us guidance, but it's not always as simple as I open the Bible and it says, thus saith the Lord, Brad, do this today. It's not as simple as that. It's not as spelled out in black and white all the time as that. So how do we do it? How do we know what to do? And more than that, how do we do the thing that we know what to do? Because in our lives, there's really three places where our thoughts and our motivations and our perceptions of the world, our perceptions of morality, our perception of life and direction, they come from. There's really three places. The first place is God and His presence and His Spirit at work in our life. And ultimately, this is what we're going to explore this morning. This is where we're going. How does God lead us in life? How does God give us guidance? How does the Holy Spirit guide our lives? The guidance that the Holy Spirit gives in our lives. And obviously, God's agenda is to have us in the will of God for our lives. As we follow God, God is going to lead us to the places He wants us to go. The second place where our perception and our understanding of the world can come from is the devil, the enemy, and his influence in our lives. Jesus told us about the enemy in John chapter 8, verse 44, when He said, He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in Him. When He lies, He speaks His native language, for He is a liar, the father of lies. He lies. It's what He does. Jesus will say that lying is the devil's native language. It's his native tongue. It's the way he speaks. It's what comes naturally in his speech. And so this is what he uses in our lives to help, well, not to help, to help for him from his view of things, but to influence the way that we see the world and the world around us. Is he will say things to us. And just like God's agenda is to walk us in the life that God has for us, the devil's agenda is to keep us as far away from that as possible. And we see that from the very beginning of time. Genesis chapter 3, the devil said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden?" Now look at what she says. In verse 2 it says, "The woman said to the serpent, but did God say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you must not die, or you will die." So the woman says in plain black and white, God, yeah, the devil says, did God tell you that? The woman says, yes, God told me this. His response, you will certainly not die. A lie, right out of the giggle. Did God really say that? Yeah, God did. Well, God was wrong. Right from the very beginning. And then there's the third place. So there's God who's trying to lead us in the ways of God. There's the enemy who's trying to do everything in his power to prevent that from happening. And then there's the third place. Us. Ourselves. It's an underreported and undervalued concept at times to believe that we have influence over ourselves and our choices. Our wants and our desires and how they can affect our spiritual lives and decisions. We have things we want and we have things we don't. We have things that we'd like to do and we have things that we don't want to do. And all of that influences how we make a decision. It's not really a spiritual thing, but I think I can show us what I mean. If I was to ask for a show of hands here in person or online, you can raise your hand in your living room if you want. You don't have to actually do this if you want. But if I was to say, who knows that it's good and right to exercise and work out every day and eat healthy and right all the time? I'm sure that if we were to say, who knows this to be true, we would all say, yes. I know this to be true. But then if we were to say, okay, now everybody's hand down. Now raise your hand if this is the lifestyle you lead. A handful of hands might go up. Some people sort of hesitantly might sort of say, well, kinda, I try to exercise, maybe I don't eat the best, or maybe I eat really good, but I don't really exercise, or exercise once a week, or whatever it might be in our lives. That we know this to be true, but we don't necessarily do it. And it would be nice to be able to say, it's the devil's fault. It would be nice to be able to say, the devil made me eat extra ice cream last night. It would be nice to be able to say, the devil made me not go to the gym. Right now, it's the government. Then we can all blame. I would go, but I can't. Ugh, darn. But, you know, it would be nice to be able to say, it's this spiritual thing that keeps me from working out and eating right and eating healthy and having a salad for dinner and all of these. It would be nice to be able to say that. But the reality is, for the vast majority of us, it's a choice we make. And it's not a spiritual decision. It's just there are things that we want to do and things that we don't. And we have control and influence in our lives based on the things we want to do and based on the things we don't. So in the face of these things, how do we know what to do and how to do it? How do we find God's will with an enemy who wants to push us away from it and a self that may or may not be inclined to do it? How do I overcome the father of lies and my own feelings to discover God and his will for my life? Well, Jesus will tell us this is why he's sending the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 12 says this. This is where we're going to begin our text this morning. Jesus will say to them, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Jesus begins our text by letting us know something that's really important for us to understand. Jesus tells his own disciples, I have so much to share with you. So many things I want to say to you, but right now you're not going to be able to comprehend it. you're not going to be able to understand what I have to say right now. Now, something that we can do that I know I've done, that I know I've done in sermons, that I know I've done in conversations, is we can have a tendency to laugh at the apostles sometimes, to laugh at the disciples, and to look at the unmitigated truth that whatever was happening, they had no idea what was going on. That Jesus would say something, and they would totally misunderstand and misinterpret what he had to say. Jesus would do something, and they would totally misunderstand it. My favorite example, Jesus has risen from the dead, and he has shown up to his disciples, and his disciples say to him, "So now are you going to overthrow Rome?" That they just don't know what's going on, and it can be so easy for us to laugh and snicker at, like, oh, they're so clueless. But we need to understand that there was a reason for that. It's not just that they were stupid or that they were not able to understand. But what we're going to discover is that over the next couple of verses, it's because they didn't have the Holy Spirit to guide them, to show them and to teach them. And their inability to understand God shows us a picture of what our ability to understand God would be or is without the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so Jesus says to his disciples, "I've got so much to say to you about all that's going to take place, but right now, like this, you can't understand it. You're not going to be able to take it. It's not going to make sense to you. I can say it, but it's not going to stick. It's not going to land. It's not going to make a difference. You can't understand it because you don't have what you need in order to understand it. But there's something more, something that's coming, something that's going to bring that extra something, the X factor. And it's not an energy, and it's not a force, it's not a pill that makes us super smart. It's a person who is going to actually instruct us and guide us as we allow him to work in us." And so then Jesus lets us know over the next couple of verses what that is going to look like, what's going to happen. It says, "But when the Holy Spirit," in verse 13, "but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." What's going to make the difference? What's going to allow us to be able to take what Jesus said and did and really understand it and see more than just a record of words and actions, but to make it a real intentional part of our life, is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says he's going to guide us. Now, what does that mean for us? What does it mean that he's going to guide us? Well, there's a couple things that I think the Holy Spirit being our guide means to us. If you were to go on a trip and you were to hire a guide, there's probably an expectation you would have of that guide and a reason for hire, or a reason that you would have to have that guide. First, the reason. The reason you would hire a guide. Because you're going somewhere you don't know how to get to. You don't know. You have an idea maybe of where you want to be, but ultimately you don't know how to get there by yourself. It's not a place you're familiar with. It's not something you can do on your own. If you knew it, you could do it, and you could do it on your own, you would. You don't hire a guide to take you to the grocery store each week because you're familiar with how to get there. You don't need someone to show you how to get places you've already been. But you need someone to help you get somewhere you've never been before. Maybe you don't know the way. Maybe you have a general idea, but you need more specifics, and you need more intimate knowledge than what you currently possess. You need someone who knows the way. And the reason you have a guide is that it's someone who knows what you don't know, knows how to get you where you want to be. And then the expectation that you would have of your guide is that they would go with you. That if you hired a guide to take you to the top of Mount Everest, and you showed up with your backpack and all your stuff ready to go, you said to the guide, "All right, let's go, show me how to get there. Take me to the top of Mount Everest." And they just said, "You go up. That way." And that was it. This isn't a good guide. This isn't what I'm looking for. If you hired a guide, your expectation would be that they would come with you as you went. Because the guide is not only there to make sure that you know where you're going and how to get there, but the guide is also there to make sure that you get there. It's not just that they want to make sure that you know where you're going and you know how to get there, but they want to make sure that you get there. And so when Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is coming and he will be our guide, we know that the Holy Spirit is there to take us not just to our same comfortable places that we know so well. that the Holy Spirit's not there to just take us to the places we know how to get to, but that he's there to take us to some places maybe we've never been before and places we don't know how to get to. But it also means that he isn't just there to tell us how to get to these places. That he's not there to just give us instruction of this is how you do it. This is how you want to speak in tongues. This is how you do that. You want to prophesy. This is how you do it. You want to do some kind of supernatural wonder. This is how. It's not just that he would give us instruction, but it's that he's there to go with us, making sure that we have everything we need to get there. It's not just that the Holy Spirit would say, this is what you need to risk for God. This is how you need to step out in faith for God. This is how you need to live new and different. These are the steps. It's that he says, I will go with you and do this with you. But Jesus even gives us an insight into where the Holy Spirit wants to lead us. Where does the verse say he's going to guide us? It says he's going to guide us, guide you, guide me into all the truth. There's this poignant moment in John chapter 18 where Jesus is being questioned by Pilate. And Pilate asks a question that resonates then and has continued to resonate throughout all of human history. Verse 37 says, you are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Verse 38, what is truth? Pilate retorted. What is truth? This is a question that humanity has tried to understand forever. And we've built philosophies that have risen and fallen over time based on an understanding of what is truth. Of course, the ironic part of this moment is that it's Pilate speaking to Jesus when he asks this question. And in Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, we have a very different definition of truth. You see, the world wants to understand truth in terms of ideas and philosophies and concepts. And because of that, over time, human truth has always been something fluid. It's always been something that's changing. And what is true changes and morphs over time because our way of thinking and understanding the world around us changes to the point where we've come to a place now as a culture where we've just accepted this is truth. That it's truth that there really is no truth. That the only truth that we have is that what's true isn't probably what's true. And what will change and what's true will change. That this idea that truth is fluid and changing as truth, there really isn't any truth. There's just feelings, and what we feel is the truth. But Jesus would say something very different about truth. He would say that it's not a feeling, it's not a concept, it's not a philosophy or an idea, it's not some kind of knowledge. Jesus would say it's me. And not me, him. Jesus would say it's me. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except for me. I am the way and the truth. What is truth? As Pilate said, truth is the very person standing in front of Pilate. When Pilate said, what is truth? He was looking truth in the eye. So when Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will come and guide us into truth, Jesus is saying he's going to guide you to me. That the way that the Holy Spirit is going to lead you, he's going to lead you into all truth, which means he's going to lead you to me. And what this means is that being led to truth doesn't lead to cold knowledge or concepts or philosophies. It doesn't lead to a greater understanding of the concept of truth. But being led to truth means being led to discovery and intimacy in Jesus. It shouldn't decrease it. It shouldn't create a stoic knowledge in our lives, but it should create a vibrant and exciting and passionate closeness with Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit is leading us towards Jesus, to the foot of the one who is the embodiment of truth, to Jesus Christ. If it's not leading you to Jesus, it's not the Holy Spirit leading you. If you're not being led towards Jesus, if your life is not a greater reflection of Jesus because of what you think God's doing in your life, it's not God doing it in your life. The Holy Spirit will always lead us to Jesus. Next, Jesus goes on to give us some ideas of what this will look like or not look like. Notice what Jesus says next. He says, he will not speak on his own. The Holy Spirit will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. What does that mean? It means that the Holy Spirit is about declaration. He's not about invention. It's not the invention of something new. It's the declaration of the eternal truth of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that means that the truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus doesn't change, and neither does the truth. And so, the newness that comes from the Holy Spirit isn't something new. It's a reminder of what always was. Jesus says, there's not going to be new revelation about me. There isn't going to come a point where the Holy Spirit is going to come to us and say, I have something brand new for you. He isn't going to come and add something to the Word of God. He isn't going to give you, me, or anyone else something in addition to what God has already spoken. That's not his role and it's not his job. Jesus said, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. He will remind you. He's not going to tell you all kinds of new stuff. He's not going to bring a new revelation of, this is a brand new gospel, a brand new understanding of God. He will remind you of what's already been said. We will talk at times, and I think I even said it earlier this morning, we will talk about a new move of the Holy Spirit, a fresh move. But that's not what God does. We don't get a new move of the Holy Spirit. We get the Holy Spirit moving in us in a different way that may be new to us, but it will always, if it's God, be based on the Word of God. And if there's ever one basic measuring stick on a move of God, whether it's from God or not, it's based on the pages of Scripture. Because Jesus said the Holy Spirit's role isn't invention. It's not to do something new. It's declaration. It's to declare what's already been said. And so we can experience a freshness in the presence of God. We can experience something new as a body of believers, but it's not going to be new. It's going to be a reflection of what God's already done. It may be new for us, but it's not new to God. And if it's new to God, then we have a problem. Because the Holy Spirit isn't about invention. He's about declaration. And then part two of what he's going to do says, and he will tell you of what is yet to come. Now, I do believe that we as a church, the Church of Jesus Christ in this day and age, we need to regain our prophetic voice in the world. That we need to be able to speak and proclaim the Word of God with strength and with power. But we also need to do it faithfully, truly, and honestly from God. I have grown so weary of seeing prophets and Bible-believing people speaking on behalf of God, giving prophecies about things, and then just being flat-out wrong. We've seen so much of this in the last little while. Prophecies about who's going to win elections. Prophecies about when COVID-19 will miraculously end. I remember last Easter, friends and pastors and people who I have respect for saying, God told them that miraculously COVID-19 is going to end on Easter Sunday. And then Easter Sunday comes and goes and we're still dealing with it. And I think we as Bible-believing Christians, we have a prophetic voice into the world. We do. But it has to be handled right. We need to be ensure that we're not talking about just things we want, things we hope for, things that would be really convenient and neat if God did that. It would have been so cool if we all woke up Easter morning and COVID was just gone. But we got to make sure that if we're speaking on behalf of God, that it's not just something we think would be so cool. But I think that this verse is speaking to something more than just these great grand proclamations. When Jesus says that he will tell you what is yet to come, I think it's the culmination of sort of this idea of what we're talking about this morning. The Holy Spirit will lead us to Jesus and show us more of who Jesus is and what Jesus looks like in our lives. And then the thing that is yet to come for us, that means he's going to show us all of this stuff about who Jesus is and who Jesus is in our lives. And then he's going to give us insight into what we do with that. What does that mean? What does it mean for our lives? What does it mean in my life, in my situation, in my circumstances? The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to me. So what? So what does that mean for me? The Holy Spirit will give us more than just all of the puzzle pieces. To say, here is everything that you need to know in order to solve this puzzle. Here's all of the pieces. Now all you have to do is put it together. The Holy Spirit doesn't just hand us a puzzle pieces. He hands us a puzzle put together and says, here's what you need to know about Jesus, but here's how you do it. It's not just what yet is to come and some cosmic grand picture kind of thing, but it means for you, for your life, for your situation, this is what God has for us. The Holy Spirit will lead us in what we should do next. And so then the last question for us, how do we know what this life looks like? What does it mean to be led by the Spirit in our lives? Well, Jesus tells us what it looks like when our lives are lived from the Holy Spirit's leading. Verse 14 says, he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. The Spirit, as our teacher, glorifies Jesus in us. It's not that the Spirit makes Jesus known to us. Jesus says that he will be glorified by the Spirit at work in us. So the question for us is this. Is your life being lived in a way that brings glory to God? How do we know that we are Spirit-filled and Spirit-led and Spirit-instructed? It's that our lives are bringing glory to Jesus Christ. So if you want to know, am I being Spirit-led? The question I would ask is simply, do people see Jesus in you? Is Jesus glorified through your life? Does your life reveal the beauty of the Son of God? Or does our lives reveal a lot of us? Friends, we need the Holy Spirit to lead us. To lead us in our lives, in our families, in our marriages, in our finances, in our jobs, in our church, in our thoughts, and in our ways of thinking. Because there's so many things out there and in here that try and cause us to miss out on what God has for us. And the only way that we can navigate this life in a way that pleases God is through complete and utter reliance on the Holy Spirit and total abandon to his will for our lives.
My heart is breaking in a way.
Thanks for listening to this message from Hillside Church. I pray that you were blessed by what God had to say in this message. If you would like to connect further with Hillside Church, there are a couple places you can go. HillsideAirdrie.ca is our website, and you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Hillside Airdrie. You can also look us up on YouTube and find all of our messages on Apple Podcasts. If you would like to connect to the pastoral team at Hillside, you can do that through our website, HillsideAirdrie.ca, and click on About Us in the main menu, and then click on Our Pastors. We're so thankful to be able to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ with our community in Airdrie and with you today. At Hillside Church, we are a family, not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. And that family includes you. As family, we go. It's gonna be okay.
I've blamed myself. And if I'm honest, maybe I've blamed you too. But you would not forsake.